News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
I'm joined by the CEO of On Post, David McRedmond, to have a look at some of the stories you may not yet have seen and to give analysis on some of those that you have. And we start with, I mean, it's the start of a long journey potentially to get there, but the potential of SIP2 balloting strike action.
Yeah, I mean, this is the public pay talks. The public pay deal ended in June, so they now need to get a new public pay deal. It's a really, it's quite a difficult negotiation for government because it pretty much sets the floor for all pay talks. Because once the price is agreed there, then you're going to get, certainly for any other union talks, you're going to get unions saying, look, this is what it was. It was agreed at 3.5 or 4 or 3 or whatever it is. So it's tricky from that perspective. It's also, though, SIP2, and I have some sympathy for the unions in this, SIP2 are saying, look, you gave in on the oil protests. You gave in on VAT and hospitality. What do we have to do? And they feel that they need to sound more militant. I don't think they do, but they feel they need to sound more militant and sound. So when they talk about strike action, I'm not sure that I think that's a bit premature. But
it's an interesting challenge for the unions, particularly after the fuel protest. The fact that the fuel protest did effectively an end run on established unions, that it was created through individuals and social media getting people out on the streets. If you're a union, that's a big threat.
Yeah, it is a threat because the, and also, you know, I think I've learned in On Post, I have a huge respect for the unions. They're tough and you have to be tough with them. They have different objectives and you have to respect that, and they have to respect, as an employer, you have different objectives. But you accept the process and the structure that exists there. There was no process or structure in the fuel protests. We didn't know who was talking for them. We didn't know who was responsible. And the fact that they could succeed in that environment, you know, makes the unions think, well, hold on a second, the whole purpose of, and it is important about unions that if they do agree a deal, that then there isn't industrial action. Mm. And I can tell you, the unions put a lot of work into that, into ensuring there's discipline. So I actually think the process matters. It's not the most interesting thing for people who aren't involved, but it really does matter. And it's a key economic figure.
And you'd wonder, is it actually, I mean, in theory, you would imagine that it is more difficult in straitened times because there's less available. But to some extent, it may actually be a bigger challenge when the mood music is that the government and the state is high on the hog, therefore everybody should be getting their bit.
Yeah, and I think now, you know, the unions have said, there's a quote here saying in the paper today saying the cost of living crisis, rising inflation have completely eroded the value of pay increase to public servants. Well, that's kind of the point of a pay increase. You know, it is to cover those things, but it's not necessarily to exceed them. Because if you exceed them, then you're talking about inflation, productivity, etc. So, you know, the unions too, and I think the better ones, would, you know, you have to be realistic and say that you need to have a balance here. But absolutely, I get it. You know, when you see, and also when you see a lot of the money that's been earned at the top of society, top of the economy, and you can understand people saying, look, I just want to be able to have a nice summer holiday, or I want to be able to afford to change my car every 4 or 5 or 6 years. You know, I want to be able to do those things. I want fairly basic things. It's understandable.
Well, it's interesting. It leads to another story that is making the news today, which is devices in schools and the issue of a digital divide at post-primary level. And this is in situations where some schools would say to parents, listen, the child needs to have an iPad or a tablet or whatever else, which is all well and good if the parents have the means to provide it.
It's a huge cost. You know, I'm about to leave On Post. I've got to go and buy my own new laptop and everything. I'm thinking they're really expensive. And why isn't someone providing me with one? There must be surely somebody who wants to give me one. But you look at these things and absolutely it's a big cost. There has to be a standardization in schools. You can't have Johnny having the superpowered Apple and somebody else having some basic.
Or somebody else having nothing. I mean, that's what they're saying is that particularly in DESH schools, you have a situation where the percentages are so low.
Completely, you know, saying that the figure for DESH schools is, you know, the requirement is lower. But that does that mean that they're going to be left behind? You know, it's one thing for Department of Education to say that, look, students aren't mandated. They don't need to have devices. Well, they actually do need to have devices. Let's get over that. And let's make sure we get something standardized. Government has huge purchasing power. Do good deals. I think it's the way forward.
Lastly, if anybody listening is looking at their husband and finding them largely useless, there is good potential news, which is that you can actually train higher performance into a husband.
Well,
or male partner.
This comes from Japan, the Japan Center for Research and Education in Program Evaluation, which is very Japanese. I love Japan. I think it's a fantastic country and it's so orderly and people there. And when you go to Japan, it looks like everybody's been trained in everything, whether how to cross the road, how to queue nicely, how to be polite. It's a fantastic country. I wouldn't rate their chances here now, you know.
you don't think we can do the Shingo Prize?
They're not going to get the Shingo Prize. Training the Irish man. But listen, I should say we should give it a go. I mean, if it gets men spending more time with their children.
They gave up an hour a day extra caring for their children at weekends and they increased the amount of by 3.5 hours a week voluntarily because the scales fell from their eyes about how useless they had been.
I think men are essentially decent and generous in their hearts.
Speak for
although,
yourself.
As my wife says, when it's your children, it's not called babysitting. So, well, we'll see what happens.
David, thank you very much. David McGredman there, Chief Executive of On Post.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.